This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Avengers Age of Ultron.
Book 3, Men and Ultrons.
Press 7 if you would like to.
Welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Avengers Age of Ultron. My name is Connor Kilpatrick and I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello!
And special guest co-host Ron Richards.
Hello, I'm back.
Ron's back.
Ron only Avengers. Shows up for movies that have Quicksilver in them.
That's a really my thing. I'm Quicksilver, I'm there.
He's a Quicksilver.
And there are more than one!
I'm on the Quicksilver beat.
Is that the Pietro guy over there? Yeah, that's him.
We're at Fanboy. We like to talk about comics every week on the Pick Week podcast. We like to get together also to talk about these comic book movies and things. And we thought we'd talk about this because people might see this one.
It's kind of a small indie film.
We are going to talk about it with spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, pause the show and come back. If you've watched none of the 4 hours of clips they've released before prior to the film or any of the trailers, then
I looked away during the Jurassic Park trailer. I was like, come on, it's too much.
I still haven't watched that one.
Yet. I haven't either.
No,
I don't
the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk. So the three of us, I believe, we talked about the first Avengers movie, didn't we? Way back.
We did.
Way back in the old days. Before.
When was that? Was that 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Jeez. So this is the
2012. It was 2012. Okay.
This is the.
Ooh, that's better.
Yeah. I feel like it's weird calling this the sequel to that Avengers movie because it's really the next in the line of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There's a reason why it's not called Avengers 2.
Right.
It's just another movie.
So. None of them are, though, right, in that sense. There's not.
Well, Iron Man 3 was pretty much
that's true.
Iron Man's the only one that's been using those numbers for some reason. Yeah. So this is all the gangs back together. Excuse me.
You okay?
I'm a little emotional looking at the poster, thinking of them all together. Written directed by Joss Whedon, who did the first film and has been overseeing a lot of the creative, or at least consulting on the creative all the films so far. And features the cast, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Samuel L. Jackson, James Spader, and a whole bunch of other people that are in this one. So why don't you guys, Ron?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Well, I'm a little. I'm not the. First off, there's the.
I love this.
there's the weird reaction of everybody who every fan, every nerd, every fanboy, whatever who goes to see this immediately go, oh my god, this is the best movie ever or whatever. You know, you need to get past that and then see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good, but it's not. It lacked the magic of the first one for me.
I think you're never going to recapture that.
Exactly. I compare. I was in the comic book store the other day, and we were talking about that, and I basically compared it to the first time you see boobies. Right. And then every other time you see boobies, you're like, oh, yeah, these are great. But that first time, you're like, oh, wow. You know, so right. Or whatever, insert whatever life experience you want there. So,
yeah.
But that said, I am fucking in love with James Spader. And I'll leave it at that. We'll talk more about that.
We are going to talk about that. That's a separate issue.
Yes.
What did you think, Connor?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I think, I don't want to get into the weeds. I thought it was, I'm seeing it again tonight as we record this.
You're seeing it right now.
I'm seeing it right now. I've got it on in the
I thought you hadn't seen it at all.
Yeah. The main thing for me is that I love these characters, obviously, but I also love these actors playing these characters. So any time I spend with them together is wonderful. It had problems, but I still thought it was a super fun time with the movies.
Yeah.
Which is all I really ask for at this point in my life.
I could go with that. I mean, like, after the movie, the people I was with, we were doing the thumbs up, thumbs down kind of the gauge. Mm-hmm. And imagine if you're in the thumbs up position and then you turn your finger, 90 degrees to the left to make it halfway through and then 90 degrees down. I was at like 10 o'clock. Like a little
actually,
between
you can use degrees to describe that angle.
Yeah.
Almost doing it, and then you went to the clock.
And I went to the clock. Yeah, but I was like, I'm not quite full thumbs up, but I'm a couple of degrees to the left B plus.
So I was thinking that we're all going to be here, the classic trio, as it were. Yeah. And I was like, oh crap, we're all going to play our roles today. Because up until, I want to say, the third act, I was like, I don't like this. And it really was like I was trying to. There are things I like, but I was annoyed by a lot of it. And some of that probably had to do with the fact that you are hearing what I will call the Phantom Menace reaction. We're like, this is great. We don't know because that's what we have. But, there's been a lot of it. And there were things I didn't like about it. There were things that were very Iron Man 2 to me that I thought that was going on. And those carried on through the whole thing. So that being said, though, around the point that they got to whatever that town was that they floated,
spoilers.
It took off for me at that point. But I thought I really
I would say the turning point for me was the creation of Vision. Like once Vision came out of the cocoon, and was from that point on, it got honestly, Josh, with you, I was with you up to that point. Up to that point, I'm like, oh god, this isn't good. And then from that point on, then it got really fucking fun and good, and really then I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, and there are there was a lot there on screen, so there's a lot of little things that you can talk about and go on, and there were things I can say I liked about it, and there were things that I didn't that never changed about it. But and we're going to get to those.
Yep.
But yeah, that's sort of where I was. And I thought that the final act, that whole last sequence was really pretty good and pretty compelling.
Well, it's interesting because for me, the only part I didn't like was the opening. And after that, I loved every minute of it. I thought.
What was your problem with the opening?
I thought the opening to me was what I was worried the first movie would be, which was a shaky direction choice by Joss Whedon.
Yep.
I thought the opening was shot really badly. It was there was too many close-ups of the action. The camera moved too much. There was weird.
It was Michael Bayish.
It looked like a Michael Bayish movie.
Yeah, and it had those rubbery kind of like the Lord of the Rings Legolas on the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so I was really worried because at first I thought, oh, this looks terrible. What happened?
That freeze frame comic book thing that they did with all of them. I was like, I get what you're doing there. It looks dumb.
I love that shot actually, but. Every moment after that, I loved. I thought the best sequence of the whole movie was after that, was the party sequence, and after that, I could have spent 4 hours at that party.
The party scene, the only saving grace of the opening scene was the banter, was the Cap saying language, that joke that started from there. That was the only thing that came from it. I understand there's something to be said for just throwing you into the action, but I was very much disoriented. I didn't know what was going on. I saw it on 3D and IMAX, and so I'm like, I need to see it on 2D and flat to see if that changes it, but I don't think it will. And of course it throws you in, you got to figure out what's going on, but I thought it was really, really rough. I thought the party scene was really good. hands down, and now we'll get to it. We'll get to the elephant in the room. Hands down, the best thing for me in the movie was Ultron and Spader's performance. I admittedly, I'm a Spader mark. Mm-hmm. And Connor, you're with me here, right? I mean, you're a big James Spader fan. I mean, like, I'm a James Spader fan going back to Steph in Pretty in Pink. So we're talking 30 years of James Spaderdom here. But yeah. He has a cadence and a way of talking and a way of delivering lines, and it translated to Ultron. And that's the thing. What I was afraid of is that was I going to think, okay, this is just Spader doing a voice of a thing? No, but it worked within Ultron for me. And I found myself every time Ultron was on screen, the moment he was off, I wanted more.
Well, the impressive thing with him was that they not only captured his voice, but in Ultron, they captured his head tilt, the way his mouth moves.
The way he turns, you know what I mean? The turn, like in the head tilt turn, like, oh, Spader.
Yeah, I could totally see him bending what's her name over a desk. It's fine. Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal, right? Yeah, there we go. That's the right guy. Robert California. Yes, okay, cool. Yep. So this is interesting to me because I was actually worried about that because I didn't understand how that was going to work with a character who is a robot. Mm-hmm. Yep. And right away, I was like, why is he acting like this? And then I realized, I was like, oh, he's an extension of Tony Stark. And after that, I was cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Somebody, like that is a complete and perfect explanation of why he would have. I was like, oh, he's quippy like Tony Stark in the same way, and he's trying to be wry and ironic, but he's also corrupted and evil. And after that, I was 100% in, and I bought it completely. So I agree with you. He was great. That was a good part of the movie. He was appropriately threatening. He was the big deal. He was, like a threat on Earth that sort of takes advantage of our fears because of technology and how we are, enmeshed in it and all that. So I think that totally worked. And James Spader, almost to my surprise, not that he's good, but I didn't see how it would fit, but I did, and that was good. So I agree with you.
Yep.
So now the other side of that coin, let's talk about the Vision, who I thought was probably the breakout character. And it was interesting because, he's played by Paul Bettany. He's Jarvis, the computer program, is put into the body that Ultron was going to use, which was synthetic, and we won't get too deep into that. But
let's ignore the science.
I have a, okay.
When he came out of it, though, I thought, I've never thought about Vision with her English accent, but it totally works.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
And I loved that character.
And the big spoiler, and it's the combination of Jarvis's programming and the synthetic body, and then the mind gem,
right.
you know, put in his forehead, and that ties it into the whole Infinity Gauntlet and all that sort of stuff, which is actually the biggest flaw in the movie, if you ask me.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so the fight, and then Scarlet Witch, and we meet Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch screws with everybody and plays off their fears, and it was very vague as to what her powers were, and I understand
there's a powers discussion to be had here, which we will then have after you have made your point.
And so what she does is that she messes with the majority of the team, makes them see their worst fears, and in Thor's worst fear, it's some sort of Asgardian orgy or something, but it's like I didn't even know what it was, and obviously Thor didn't. So at some point he decides to go walkabout and goes and finds my favorite guy, Stellan Skarsgård. He finds Eric Selvig and says, I need to figure this out. And then the whole B plot of Thor figuring out what his vision was and figuring out
I don't know what his vision was.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've no that was that,
he
that
got in the Lazarus pit.
Yep.
And then
and then saw it again. Saw the whole weird orgy thing and saw Heimdall, and then all of a sudden knows what he needs to do. Like that was the only piece of the plot that broke That's down for point. Me.
Well, there was a lot cut out, and that was one of the scenes that got cut. There was
you can feel it.
There was a 3-hour cut. The first cut of the movie was 3 hours, and they ended up cutting obviously 40 minutes out of the movie. So
Jesus,
there's a lot of character stuff that got cut out. And
thank God I got home late.
And so that was one thing that got cut out.
No, so, am I wrong, Connor? Do you think that was the shaky part?
You mean the fact that we didn't know how he knew what he knew when he came back?
I didn't know how, why, what, anything. Like, you didn't need Selvig. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted to see the Skarsgård.
You shut your mouth.
No, I know. I wanted to see the Skarsgård, but it just did. Like, it's like he goes to find him, and when he's wearing the hoodie, and the next thing I know, they're in a cave. Where was that cave? Like, it was like, I feel like there was, and admittedly, it felt like the biggest thing that was cut out. And but that was the thing that tied to the fact that it was the mind gem and all that sort of stuff, which tied it. It felt like it was forced to tie it into the Thanos stuff.
So, no, I think I agree with you. Although that didn't bother me so much because I didn't really think of it.
I just figured they're setting up the Ragnarok Thor movie, so I didn't really. I thought of all the ways you can see. These movies have to do two things, right? They got to tell their own story, and they also have to keep the massive behemoth rolling. And I thought of, you know, in terms of that, it was not elegant, but it was serviceable in the way they moved everything.
That was funky.
So, all right, I want to touch one more time. Where is Ron is in the boat for Spader?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am down with Paul Bettany, and the fact that I've been hearing him through all these movies and he hasn't shown up was a big problem for me. That's a Dr. Maturin right there for those of you Master and Commander
fans. Well, what's
great
about it is that, you know, they cast this guy to play Jarvis way back in 2005, and not knowing they would ever need him to act.
Boy, he looked the part, though, didn't he?
Oh, he looks like fucking Vision, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, they really lucked out with a guy who looks like the character they needed him to be.
Like, he didn't like. Good thing he looked like that. He sounded like that, but didn't look like Paul Giamatti. Like, it's because that wouldn't work. So that one worked out. So let's talk, I guess, about the powers a little bit, because this is not a criticism. It's just a thing I was thinking about because they okay. Lately, I have been playing Lego Marvel on the Xbox, which is a super fun game, and it's really cool, and I want to go play it right now. But one thing that they have to do is they have to take each character's powers and they have to put them in a box. So there's a telekinetic power box, and there's a Wolverine claw power box, and that's Beast and Sabretooth and whatever.
Berserker.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. And what you basically end up having is a bunch of sort of vaguely similar energy powers.
Right.
Which is sort of what this movie is. That was what, instead of Scarlet Witch having, granted, the really tough to explain chaos magic
you
power
can't,
that
you,
she has.
You cannot explain to me what her powers are in the comics. I've been reading her comics for 35 years. And
Connor,
I don't know what
they are hex powers, Connor. Right. Hex powers.
So I don't have a problem with that because I don't think it basically. What I got to was, and I was like, that fucking Vision better phase, and he didn't. And I was like, it doesn't really matter because the characters are. Did he?
Yeah, during the fight.
Did he phase? I don't remember that.
He stuck his hand through a robot, and then the robot stopped working. He totally phased.
Oh, okay,
totally
cool.
Phased. Yeah.
I was looking for it. I think for a little while, I was trying to remember what his power was because it had been so goddamn long since I've seen him.
Yeah.
But, like, I decided that is not a thing that's going to bother me because the character, you know, Wanda was, I was like, that's pretty much Wanda. That's fine.
Yeah.
As opposed to Hawkeye or quote-unquote Hawkeye.
Well, let's talk about Hawkeye. So in the first film, you know, Captain America is the leader of the team and sort of the main character, but the first film really it was all about Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This film, again, caps even more of the leader and the main character, but it's really all about Hawkeye. Yep. So, Josh.
Well, do you think that they were, I mean, I feel like the Academy Award nominee guy was like, excuse me.
Well, no. What
and
I like
and
is
he looked at them with that face that he has.
But I also like in the actual movie, he questions his relevance for the team. Like, let's talk about meta.
So, I'm over the fact that this isn't classic Hawkeye. He doesn't fit into this.
Well,
that's
he was a little
fine.
Funnier in this one.
He was, but I'm going to get to that. Funny. Like, basically, he's married to Lindsay Weir, and that is Lindsay Weir, by the way. I want you to know that at the end of Freaks and Geeks, she took off on the Deadhead bus, whatever she did, she met Clint Barton, and they moved out to the hills. That is who that is. I think, can we all agree on that?
Yes, sure, I'm there. All right.
But, I mean, it was such a, it was fine, it was interesting, but if you know anything about Hawkeye, I was like, what the hell is this? This isn't Ultimate Hawkeye, this is not Marvel Universe Clint Barton at all.
No, this is HGTV Hawkeye.
It is. And
he's got to replace floors.
It is better though than what he was in the first movie.
I really liked him in this. I really liked his family setup, and I really liked that he was the grounding human element of the team this time.
Yeah, that's fine, but it's basically a new character.
That's fine.
But I really like the bit where he's like, I'm out there with a bow and arrow. Like, you said what we're all thinking.
When he almost shot Quicksilver in the back. I thought that was funny. I thought that was a good
The whole
bit.
Thing was funny. Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's the – okay, so you have another point on this topic?
No, I'm Hawkeye. No, carry on.
Okay, so if you were to ask me what the main thing that I didn't like about this movie is, it was what I call the Iron Man 2 problem, is that you've taken a bunch of – A, everybody – is basically Buffy. They all have the same comedic voice, everyone.
Yeah.
Which bothers me. And instead of like a bunch of good jokes, there were like twice as many jokes that weren't quite as good. Like, there were so many, all the, like, Thor was, like, punchline guy. And I was like, come on, he's Thor. And it's okay to do it some. I know, but, well, maybe that's it. Maybe it was just
But and now he's more comfortable and all, you know.
I get that. It's fine. I just felt like, for me, I could hear the writer's voice constantly.
Well, that's Joss Whedon. Every character does the same voice.
I feel like he had controlled that in the first movie a little bit. And it was turned up, but with less quality in this one. It was quantity over quality. And then that there weren't good jokes, and not that there weren't things that I chuckled with, but at a certain point I was like, all right, I get it. Like,
I don't know. That's the taste thing. It's the balance of the humor with the brevity, with the action. Like, it's that's the mix that Whedon's going to do, and it's going to come with it.
I know, but basically, and I think it's part of the reason I like that third act more is that there was other stuff going on, so we weren't constantly getting that all the time. Yeah. And there were three speeches in this movie. There was a Hawkeye speech and a Sam Jackson speech, Nick Fury, and a Captain America speech. And the first time Nick Fury gave his speech, I was like, why isn't Captain America saying this?
Yeah.
Because they got to have Nick Fury do something.
Yeah, they need to give Sam Jackson something to do.
He looked old for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's 70-something.
Yeah. Before we move into the twins, which I want to talk about.
Yeah, me too.
One thing I did, I noticed this and I remembered it because I'm looking through the cast list. So, Ron, for you, it was Thor coming back was your big head-scratching moment.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Falcon completely disappearing.
Yes.
So, he's at the party. He's a big part of the party. Everyone's talking to Falcon.
No, but he made a reference as to why at the end. Or didn't he?
He wanted the desk. He was working on a detective case or something.
No, yeah. It was. He explained why he wasn't in the opening scene because he was working.
He was at the party. He's hanging out with everybody talking at the party. And then Ultron attacks, and he's not with the crew in the after party.
Yeah.
I was like, well, where did Falcon go?
Well, maybe he hooked up.
Maybe he did hook up.
That's a good point.
There you go.
You just solved it for me.
There you go. He's an attractive man. He's a handsome man.
I thought they did a really good job of getting all these sort of side characters just a tiny bit of screen time to remind you that there's this giant world. It all sort of comes together for the Avengers movies. And even if
Falcon's just short
not,
of it.
Not gonna, yeah.
Although I have a comment about that, but I'll say it at the end. Okay. But before we get to the twins, Andy Serkis's Claw was I liked him.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, Claw. Yeah.
Oh, so. That was one of those things that I was like, all right, Claw.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
Arm cut off. I was like, please come back.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you'll see him in Black Panther for sure.
Cool. That works.
Now, Josh, were you happy to see Hayley Atwell again?
She's the most beautiful thing that has ever. Yes, I was. I won't watch the show. I watched the first episode. I was bored. But actually, I was thinking, no, go back and watch that.
I was surprised to see Julie Delphi. I was like, oh, that's some good casting.
It's odd that Jane is not here. Yes, she is on her side. Like, we have to explain where the girls are. Like,
but I ended up liking that because it became about Cap and Thor. Or no, Thor and who was it?
Iron Man.
Iron Man. Danny. Talking about which had the better girlfriend, which I liked. I liked that moment.
Yeah.
But it showed a point of pride between the two of them. They
can afford those actresses for this. That's what's going on here.
So let's talk about Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, actually, one more thing. In the same vein as the Falcon would be R.I.P. Baron Strucker.
Yeah.
Who was built up in the Cap movie. You know, he's in the final scene. He's birthing the twins, basically. And then you see him briefly in the beginning, and then he dies off screen.
Yep.
Oh, poor Baron Strucker.
Didn't even make it on S.H.I.E.L.D. Jeez.
Oh, you could have had him on S.H.I.E.L.D. at least.
I know. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about later. But so before we get deep into the twins, the big question I have for you guys is that in the Battle of the Quicksilvers, which movie wins?
Oh, X-Men by far.
X-Men. Yep. Agreed.
I liked them in this, though.
No, they were great. I'm just saying that Quicksilver,
yes,
taken on its own.
Absolutely. That other scene was amazing. That was the one we came out of it like, wow, what a thing. And that was probably a better bit of filmmaking.
Bryan Singer.
Yeah, but in this, like, I actually really liked them in this.
Oh, I liked
and
them
I thought
too.
That when they started working with the team, that made it stronger. Mm-hmm. I think that the one of the things it's funny, we've been talking on the regular podcast about things that I like with, you know, people getting along or whatever. I liked the conflict in the team in this one a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so having them on the team and that sort of classic mistrust of them because they were, you know, traditionally Brotherhood of Evil Mutants folks. And there's a reason for them to have that same kind of distrust here, which I like a lot. That sort of conflict that exists in that team, I thought that was really good. I think, you know, they looked and sounded the part.
Most of the time, they held the accents together with tape and string.
Mm-hmm. but because they were like random Eastern European country,
right? I did like that Quicksilver was dressed like he had moved to Queens and was wearing yes. Adidas pants, and he had.
And he, they looked like it. Yeah. Like, yeah. He especially looked like it.
Yeah.
Those shoes would not have held up.
Like, you would have seen that guy in Astoria yelling at
would have?
His dog.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Elizabeth Olsen was really good, and Aaron Taylor Johnson, who was kick-ass, and these two also played husband and wife in Godzilla, were good. Did not see the Quicksilver getting Joss Whedon, though.
No, the getting washed, as it were.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they never confirmed it, and with his high metabolism, I wouldn't be surprised if then he's back.
He got shot up pretty good.
He got shot like Swiss cheese, and then they loaded his body, and he was not at the end scene with the new Avengers team.
Yeah, yeah, no,
I know. I mean, I guess they could bring him back, but that would be comic book hokey. It'd be fine.
If they brought him back, like they brought back Coulson, I think people would revolt.
Yeah. I don't think that was. I don't think that was necessary.
Revolt? Really? Revolt?
No. On the internet.
No.
On Twitter.
No, they'll still buy the things. It's fine.
But I thought they were great. I think she's a great addition to their team. She brings a different kind of energy, literally, and that was fun. Now,
and with her motivation in the Hawkeye speech, the inspiration speech is like, are you going to step up or are you just not? You know, like I actually thought that played really well and gave Hawkeye a good moment, but also
did you think Hawkeye was going to die?
No.
I thought, wow, they're really laying it on thick that he's going to die here.
They were. I will say that whole scene in the middle, I was like, okay, you've made your point. They really laid it on thick. Yeah. With like the bucolic setting.
Well, I don't even mean that. I just mean
in the scene.
He has to go back and save the kid, and he's like, you know, he's like, all right, well, is this where they're going to kill Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
I was really hoping he'd scream out like this if he did kill him.
Not like I did think about that. I did think that.
I never thought that was going to happen because he's the Oscar.
So now, do we think that? How do we feel about the Black Widow Hulk relationship?
So my favorite part of the movie, my favorite moment in the entire movie was when she pushed him over the edge and said, I need the other guy.
Yeah.
I think that was the absolute strongest beat in the whole thing. And
it's funny because my favorite part of the movie was when they were at Clint's house and Banner shaved and you saw the Gillette shaving cream can for about 5 minutes during that scene.
You know what's funny is that I saw you make that joke before I went and I didn't notice. And then afterwards, I was like, wait, what was that thing he talked about?
I didn't see the can either,
shaved. Oh, no. He shaved and he's shaving with the Gillette razor, which is fine. But then he walks out and they start talking. And then the camera cut back to a shot from inside the bathroom. And it was you're looking at them through the doorway and the can of shaving cream is on the left, and I swear to God, it felt like an eternity.
I
on
never
that
saw it. I did see the Beats headphones Hulk was using to be remind himself that he's the man.
Yeah. but anyway,
I liked that story. I think I wasn't. I, it,
yeah. Beauty
I wasn't
and the Beast.
Sure at first.
It's Beauty and the Beast.
I mean, it's kind of shitty because one of the things I really liked about Winter Soldier, was that they'd sort of hinted at this romantic relationship and they never went there. And I was like, okay, that's a good choice because they always go there. But this time, like, they could not take that one female character and not have her hook up with someone.
You had a reference. In an unusual way. It wasn't like she she didn't pick the alpha male.
No, I know.
She didn't pick any of the many alpha males on the team. She picked the nerdy scientist guy.
Yeah, but look at the audience.
But then you also had the scene of at the bar at the party when Steve is talking to Banner and he goes she can be very flirtatious. I've seen it.
Yeah. No, so like, and I was referring to it, but they never sort of went there.
Yeah.
And it just I think it would have been cool if they never bothered with that, but if they were going to. And also that's classic Avengers stuff. That's supposed to happen. That's fine.
Yeah.
So I was cool with it, and I liked that you didn't get it. Like you know.
I will say in terms of relationships, and it was just a split second. But at the end of the movie, when Vision picked up Scarlet Witch and they make eye contact, and I was like, oh, that's it.
I had a little an internal squeal for that moment.
Yeah, that was very good. Yeah,
I did like Hulk piloting.
Do not have children.
Yeah, Hulk piloting the Jack was great.
Sad Hulk piloting.
I guess
the Jack.
He's gonna fly.
They should have played the Hulk music. or the Ewok fire music. Either way,
I have a hard time really finding too much horribly wrong with this movie. I really think Downey was. I don't think he was overly Downey. I thought he was good.
He was on the edge a few times.
But he was like that in the first Avengers movie. I didn't think he never got close to Iron Man 2 levels.
No.
Chris Evans continues to be wonderful as Steve Rogers. And
yes.
I got to say, I did have a problem in that I had recently watched Scott Pilgrim again. And I kept just seeing his character from that. And it was a problem. I was like, oh, it's Lucas Lee or whatever, whoever that guy is. I had a problem.
I like that War Machine.
Gave the look at one point. He's like, hey. And I was like, oh, no.
I like that War Machine got a little moment at the end. I thought they're doing a good job of. And, you know, of course, the movie ends with this quote-unquote new Avengers, which is Cap and Black Widow and Scarlet Witch and War Machine and Vision.
Yeah.
And who else was there?
Falcon.
Falcon. Yeah. So I like that they're sort of spreading it out, because this core team of Thor, Iron Man, Cap, they're not going to stay together forever. You know, this is not.
It was kind of out of the blue, though.
It was like,
you're gonna go? Yeah, I'm gonna drive away in my car.
Like, yeah, very anticlimactic. It's like, yeah, I'm done. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not done, though. They were just leaving. They're training a new team or training new Avengers.
Well, he acted like he's retiring.
Yeah.
Robert, you know, or Tony Stark.
Well, we know he's not, because in the next movie he's Iron Man in the Cap movie. So, like, they, you know, that's just the way these movies end.
Yeah.
He's getting older.
And he'll be back. I don't know. He'll be back
in The Judge 2.
What the future is of it.
Well, the next Cap movie is basically another Avengers movie, because everybody's announcing they're in it again.
And isn't it Cap versus Iron Man? I mean, yeah. Isn't that the whole thing? Yeah. So, but the thing that got me about the end and the whole the Avengers camp up in Woodstock or wherever the hell they are and the new Avengers team, whatever. And honestly, again, this is a bigger Marvel kind of question, but would it have killed them to have the goddamn cast from S.H.I.E.L.D. just there?
Right.
Then would watch that dumb TV show that no one's watching now.
Was that nerdy dude who was piloting the helicarrier? Was he
no,
from the S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was from the Captain America movie.
Yeah,
okay. He was the nerdy guy that the Hydra agent put the gun to his head to launch the Doomsday device, and he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, but I mean, like, seriously,
I'm
like,
really surprised by that.
Yeah, like how and I understand that, and I've read that whatchamacallit, that Whedon said that they couldn't put Coulson on it because that would kill the moment of the first movie, Coulson dying and all stuff like that. So fine. So have Agent May just walk by, or just have some tie to the TV show to get people to watch, because the it's all connected prelude was really nothing. You know, like the Dr. List guy that was in the beginning of the scene was in S.H.I.E.L.D. and they showed the scepter and that sort of thing. But like, just, you know, like, I understand that the movie is its own thing and the TV is its own thing, but you want them to all be connected. So just do it. Just throw them, you know, have Fitz and Simmons walking around in the background.
Or Mockingbird.
Yeah, make the fans go crazy and then
just want to see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, any moment I can, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to know that you guys didn't like it as much.
Oh, I want to see it again. I definitely want to see it again.
It was a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, well, let's do grades. But like my grade is like it's like a solid B+ for me.
Well, that seems more than just a half thumbs up.
No,
like B+ is a thumbs up.
I thought you said B- earlier.
No, B+. I said that's what I say. Mm. And to me that's like my thumbs at 10:00.
Mm-hmm. You just can't do degrees, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I was like, okay, that was fine. It was fun. I dug the end, but I don't know. Maybe it's not so much my thing as many other comics fans, and that's fine, too.
Give it a grade.
See, we usually do Netflix grades.
What are Netflix grades? You know, stars?
Five, yeah, the 5 stars, 4 stars.
Oh, so I give it 4 stars.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
If I was rating it,
ratings,
I'd give it a 3 so they don't recommend me another bunch of movies that aren't like that, that are like it, but shitty. You know what I mean? Like, basically, if I was really telling you, I'd be 3.5 personally. Like, there was a lot of things I liked about it, but I wasn't completely like charmed or blown away. There was, you know, it wasn't so much my speed all the time.
Well, other than the magical bits in terms of your feelings, Ron, how would you say this compares to the first one? Because a lot of people said the first one was really slow. The second act is them hanging out in the helicarrier, basically. Whereas this one was like, all right, turning it to 11.
Well, no,
so which did you prefer in terms of?
I still say the first movie is magic. I think.
Well, magic aside, in terms of the story being told, which one did you prefer?
The first movie.
Yeah.
And it's funny because even though I love Spader as a villain, I love Hiddleston as a villain too. Yeah. And I thought that it worked as a crescendo of the other events of the other movies. Like, it tied in with Captain America, it tied in with Thor. Like, it was the right coming together at the right time and had the right momentum and the right excitement and all that sort of stuff. And honestly, how many movies in between Avengers and this event, the first Avengers and this Avengers that have we had? We had
3 or 4.
But which one?
Thor 2, Captain America 2, Iron Man 3.
Right.
At least.
Yeah, yeah. So those three. But I don't feel like these converged in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that kind of lacked it for a little bit.
Well, I mean, like if it tells you anything about me, I liked the first one a lot. I haven't watched it since the first time I saw it in the theater, and I own it.
Oh, really?
Like I have a copy of it. I just haven't ever watched it. So, yeah. You know, not my bag so much.
Yeah.
And now going forward, are we excited about Thanos?
I thought that was the lamest.
Yeah. Yep.
End credits thing ever because it was nothing we haven't seen and know. Those have always been a thing that was a cool surprise that we didn't know that was coming.
Right.
Whether it's stupid and it's Howard the Duck in a bubble or whatever. But I was like, we've seen Thanos. We know he's going to have the glove. Whatever. Like, yeah, so I was waiting for something new.
It felt like we've done this. It's like the third time we've seen him now in a scene.
And if there's nothing to show, then don't do it.
Right.
Break that tradition. Don't just do it because I was you know,
well, the problem is they can't break that tradition now, so they have to do something.
Well, then they have to do something.
Right.
They have to make a stronger choice.
I agree with you. I thought it was pretty lame. As soon as it was ended, let's get out of here. I didn't feel anything. I'm like when you saw the twins for the first time in Captain America or whatever, it just didn't feel anything. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really interesting to see how they pull that off in two movies.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo's really good.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
I just feel like I hadn't said that, and I want to make sure
The cast is so fantastic. So when they are bouncing off of each other, I'm the happiest you can possibly be in a movie theater. Because you just, you know, Ruffalo bouncing off Downey and Hemsworth and Evans and...
Oh yeah, no, the whole Thor's hammer bit was, I mean, after the party and then going back to it at the end with the elevator.
Right. Oh, that was the great moment with Vision, right? So like they don't know whether to trust this guy with the red skin and the thing, and he picks up the hammer and it's like, all right, you know, that's the great symbolic moment, right? That he's part of the team.
Yeah, that was very, very nice structure. I will give him that. Yeah. A little on the money.
But then you're right. Then the argument about him basically being an elevator was pretty great.
That feels to me like. Like, they should have just run a bunch of that shit in the credits.
Yeah.
And I just, like, the movie felt like there was a lot of those kind of things, and it was kind of cute and funny, but that's what people sign up for. And I don't even mean that in a bad way. It's charming, but I was like, okay, get on with the thing. The screenwriter in me is just like, this is fluff. This is all, like, does it serve the story? It's just jokes. And I totally know, but...
You're a screenwriter now?
No, but there is a screenwriter in me. And he's failed. He's angry. But he knows some of the basic ideas.
Yeah. I just want a movie. I just want Ultron living in the suburbs. You know, maybe working at a law firm. I don't know. Maybe, you know, doing some
robot?
Sort of, just being Spader all the time.
I was really glad that they found a way to make his personality jive with how it would happen. He didn't just have a personality as a computer, which I thought would have been dumb.
Yeah.
It would have been a waste of him if they just been, I am the computer named Ultron.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, but they're like, it was a good, like, he's the anti-Stark. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's really, that's a cool idea, which is, he's supposed to be Pym, obviously. Can I just say, no, I won't talk about that.
Well, you're going to see Pym soon. Are we excited about Ant-Man?
No. It looks like a really boring trailer. I saw that trailer and the Fantastic Four one after the other. If I had to pick one, I'd pick Fantastic Four.
Oh, well, I'm a Paul Rudd fan.
I am too, but it looked really hammy and just very basic to me.
Yeah. We'll see how it all fits in. And you get some Michael Douglas Pym.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I would like better if he played it like Liberace, but what are you gonna do? My baby boy.
God, I really think like that one is like the least exciting trailer that I've seen out of all of them.
We were discussing this at work the other day. That has the possibility of being Hulk.
It's their cars.
Their next Hulk because everyone forgets that movie exists.
Yeah, well, we said the Guardians. I mean, Guardians. We said this is going to be the failure.
No, but that's even better because Hulk was, and we just forget. We forget it even happened.
Yeah, true.
Which Hulk?
The one that's in this canon with Robert Downey Jr. in it as Iron Man.
But with Ed Norton.
But the thing is, that's Universal, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about the other day, and I checked.
They were all different.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, Black Widow was in that one. So it was linked in one, but it's actually a different studio, which is really interesting.
But they all were in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, but it's linked into the stories. And honestly, I really like that. The opening scene in Brazil, I think, is fantastic. I like that movie. I really like that movie until the end.
I haven't seen it since I saw it.
With Tim Roth as Abomination. I did not like that. But everything else I liked. I did like Ed
Norton. What if it was James Spader as Abomination? That would be okay.
Well, no. James Spader is
all these villains sound like James Spader. Like he has a French accent. He's backtalked the Leap Air. I jump around.
Oh man, he's so good. You gotta watch. Like it's purely the only reason to watch The Blacklist is for him.
Right.
Oh man, it's great.
All right, so those are our varied opinions on Avengers: Age of Ultron. If you want to talk about the movie, go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post about. There'll be a post for this show where you can talk about the film and what you thought, what you liked, what you didn't like. It's going to suck all the money out of the economy this weekend, and then we'll move on.
I'm not
gonna
lie. I got there and I looked up and I was like, I could go see Furious 7 right now, and I kind of want to. And then I was really offended because nobody cheered after the San Andreas trailer. And I don't know how you don't. Sorry.
I didn't get any trailers because I saw it in a preview. So I was like, oh, I didn't get to see this. Did you see the Star Wars trailer?
No, I was hoping to.
Oh, weird.
It might have happened while I was out, but like they kept the lights on during the trailers and everybody talked through all the trailers, which I was like, what's going on here?
You should burn that theater to the ground and salt the earth.
It was sold. It was a great local theater and it was sold last year and now it's just going to hell.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
So, you got the D seats though, so.
No, I was in. I wasn't on it.
No, well, the theater has the D seats, so yeah.
D box. That's D-box. That's a marketing problem right there. You've called it the D box. Don't you see what you've done?
Oh man!
All right, I don't even know.
Oh, wait, look like regular seats.
I was gonna say the in the first Avengers movie, the little Galaga joke.
Yes.
Was the equivalent of that the people at the center of the internet taking selfies behind Tony Stark as he was working?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't even see that.
Oh yeah, no. So you know,
apparently Ron's paying a lot more attention to the frame.
That was another shaky thing too. The fact that Tony Stark went to this the what was it the
Nexus.
The Nexus? Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, that exists.
Hey.
It doesn't exist. It's a movie.
I know, but anyway, but so when he's there, it pulls
literally the opposite. It's literally the opposite of what the internet is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's literally the idea of the internet is that if one goes down, it doesn't matter.
It's decentralized. Therefore,
it's literally the opposite.
I thought the internet was in a box.
Right. But so when he goes there, it goes to a long shot to show the expansiveness of that room, and two of the people that are with him are behind him, and one of them takes their phone out and the other one's pointing at Tony Stark and they take a picture.
We need to talk about Tony Stark's clothing.
I think it's great. It's so over the top.
Why does he have a shiny slash across the front of his shirt?
Yeah, that was so weird.
And then I was like, can somebody just give Captain America a real shirt, please? Him, I got that. I know why he was wearing it. But, like, here's the guy who's going to be wearing good old white American cotton, and he's got whatever the hell that was.
Under Armour.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I liked is when they geared up.
Well, he was about to go into training.
I know.
When they were
chopping wood.
When they were gearing up for the climax, and then the closet opens, and there's a whole bunch of sneakers, and Quicksilver grabs a pair. Like, how did they know his size?
And they also that had was a his, costume. Was it his?
I thought that was his closet, but I guess it wouldn't be.
Right, yeah, exactly.
He ran back home. Yeah, he ran home and he came back.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right. So go to ifanboy.com, tell us what you thought of the movie. You can listen to our weekly Pick of the Week podcast every week. Josh and I talk about comics. Ron's on some technological bullshit shows. What are you on?
He's what we think of you.
Go to twit.tv/AAA for all about Android, a weekly show of Android news and reviews and hardware and fun stuff like that.
You should make sure it's all about Ultron.
All about Ultron.
He's I'll an Android. Kind
yeah.
Of.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And the Vision. You should bring every story back around to them.
I will. I'll see if I can do that.
Twit.tv/AA. That's a different kind of show.
Yeah.
It's a sadder show.
AAA. AAA. Okay. But just follow me, RonXO, on Twitter. You can find all my shit there, as I'm on Walkabout.
So
I'm telling you, this life of leisure is for me, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I might just want a bit of Walkabout out here. My South African claw is the best.
It was great. Yeah, he was good. I'm looking forward to Black Panther with him. Yeah. And all right, we're gonna ramble on forever, so we're just gonna end it here. Until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
Oh, we haven't done this in so long. Who goes first?
I'm usually last.
Josh goes last, but the
guest. I'm sorry. No, my bad. Connor, do it again.
I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
They should have just shown Black Panther for a minute. That would have killed him. Josh.
eyes on me.